Let us turn to our scripture text, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Matthew 12:43-45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then saith he, I will return unto my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. When I was released from the hospital, I saw that there were two assignments for me on the same Lord's Day. 8 a.m. and 10:30. I was very delighted and was prepared to preach to you at 8 a.m. and 10:30. Not knowing that I was released from hospital, as it were released from prison. And there was still a probation period. I must report to the prison authorities. I have still to see my doctor. And the last doctor to release me is tomorrow. Well, I never knew my weakness. That is part of the Lord's training. So much so, because though I got out of hospital completely without pain or any inconvenience from my sleep days, I said I thought I was forever cured, not knowing that the sleep days slipped back and the numbness came to my left thigh again, though this time it is much more is much lighter. At any rate, I did not realize my weakness, and when I preached the first time at the Chinese service and stood for 40 odd minutes with the interpretation, the numbness got me very weak. And so that's why we now have this high chair for me. And I want to thank the young man, and especially Reverend Charles Seed, who is my manager and helps me a great deal. Now, today I've come back to the Gospel of Matthew that I have been preaching serially. And I simply have imitated Zwingli, the Swiss reformer. He was one of those leaders after Calvin and Knox, Luther, and Zwingli felt that it would be a wonderful thing to go through one of the Gospels so that we may know our Lord better, particularly that we may see the glory of the Son of God, and we may know how to worship Him better. Now, in the matter of reading a short text like this, it must not be done in isolation, but by reading the wider context. Here we have the Lord speaking against a wicked generation. And by reading the wider context, we are soon drawn to the scribes, the theologians, those who copied the scriptures, who knew very well every word. And the Pharisees, they are the bosses of the church. They are the high churchmen. Who are the Pharisees? The word Pharisee means separatist. In a sense, they started out good as reformers, desiring the people that they should live a cleaner and holier life and keep strictly to the law of God. But by becoming too legalistic, they got the people to carry a heavy burden. For example, they impose on those who go to the marketplace that when they come home, they must wash hands, or else they will pronounce them unclean. Now the disciples, while they were walking through the cornfield, they felt hungry, and they plucked the corn to eat. Our Lord lovingly let them do it on humanity grounds. It was a necessary thing. But the Jews immediately came and pointed their fingers at them, "You have broken the Sabbath." And so this sort of a keeping beyond what the law requires makes it a very heavy burden for the people to bear. Thus Jesus likens it to a man who, having cleansed himself of an evil spirit, but his heart is not filled by the Spirit of God, is exposed, and that evil spirit, finding seven other more wicked spirits, came in and stayed. So, in trying to keep the law of God in their own strength and much beyond, they are in this situation worse seven times than according to the situation in the first. So the scribes and the theologians, the teachers of the Jewish church, these are the wicked generation. The heads of the church who are supposed to advance the cause of God are actually the Satan working against God. Truly, the call then the wicked generation is not an overstatement, for if they go against beyond God's law, will not the Pharisees and the scribes be working against Christ? Their teachings are sure to clash. At point after point, we see the Pharisees and scribes clashing with our Lord, not only over keeping of the Sabbath. That was a constant struggle between them. But also, more importantly, against Jesus claiming himself to be the Son of God, his power to forgive sins, and the performing of his miracles. In John chapter 9, it's a very interesting study of how when a person is set in his ways, he'll never open up to the truth, to good common sense, to the evidence that is plainly given. John chapter 9 tells us of the man who was born blind, and Jesus made clay, anointed his eyes, and said, "You go and wash in the pool of Siloam." As he washed, he suddenly saw and was so happy and came back and told the people. The Pharisees also knew this man sitting by the wayside asking for alms. But they could never admit that Jesus could do any miracle. So, when they confronted this man face to face, and he said, "He opened my eyes. That's all I know, whether he's good or bad." The Pharisees immediately checked him. "He broke the Sabbath. How can one who breaks the Sabbath do any miracle?" And then they got hold of the parents. And the parents were afraid of the Pharisees. So they said, "He is of age. You ask him, 'This is my son.' 'Yes, he was blind, but now he sees.'" So this is the second instance of the denial of the Lord Jesus. And the third time, they confronted the blind man now with his eyes open. "This is a sinner. Praise God and give him the glory. How can he have opened the eyes when he is a sinner?" And the blind man, whose eyes are open, "Sinner or no sinner, this one thing I know. I was blind, but he opened my eyes, and now I can see." That is the way how the Pharisees and the scribes rejected our Lord and Savior. Another time they said, "Oh, he has done a miracle, but he has done it in the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Jesus replied, "You have committed an unpardonable sin, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit," in other words, speaking against your conscience. That is how it all worked out between our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church leaders who are actually the opponents of our Lord who has come to establish a church. By way of application, let us ask if we have met such a wicked generation in our time when we established our Life Bible Presbyterian Church. We started out as the English service of Life Church in Chinese in Teochew, Sai Miak Tung, in 1950. Now, even after the war, we were not an independent church, but we were under the control of the English Presbyterian missionaries. To give you an interesting description, the headquarters of the English Presbyterian Mission was just next door, Morimasa Gardens. Before this, Sim Lim Tau Ke had his house. And before that, there was a bungalow where the chief missionary stayed. In the early 1930s, my grandfather was a pastor of the Presbyterian Mission Church in Upper Serangoon, which today is a youth center of the Bethel Presbyterian Church. He brought me here to meet with some other pastors, about 10 or 12 of them, and they all had a prayer meeting together with the missionary, and then one by one they collected their pay. That's how we are ruled by them. My grandfather's salary was $30 a month. In those days, for a junior clerk to begin working in a government office, he would be drawing $45. Well, the pay may be small, but we also enjoyed a parsonage and the church grounds, and we have to thank the Lord very much for all this. But that is a picture of how the English Presbyterian missionaries were rulers of our Chinese churches, because every one of the pastors is paid by the English mission. But now, these are the leaders of the church. Were they advancing the cause of Jesus Christ? One of the chief missionaries by the name of Reverend Gibson wrote a book, Denying Hell. Heaven he might recognize, but he said there was no hell. But sorry to say, today there are many evangelicals turning to this great heresy. And John Stott is one of them, famous evangelical at one time. He now denies that there is a hell. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 9, 43 to 46 or 8, declares three times that the fires of hell shall never be quenched. Alright, that is the statement of our Lord and Savior, and you choose what you will believe. Another missionary by the name of Reverend Fleming, he openly denied the virgin birth of Christ. While supposedly preaching Christ, the majority of these English missionaries above us denied the deity and the miracles of Jesus Christ, no different from the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, some time ago I told you here of the missionary who taught me English at ACS in the senior Cambridge class. One day he went to Sarawak and he preached a sermon in which he said, if you can believe that the whale swallowed Jonah, then you can also believe that Jonah swallowed the whale. He became the first principal of a theological college in Singapore. Then another one of the theologians, another principal of the same college, pronounced the work of Dr. John Sung before the Second World War, 1935 to 1939 in Singapore, to be pernicious. I've got all this record in the early magazines of the Malaysia Christian, which we edited in 1950. And he said, why is he pernicious? Because he is divisive. The fact is that when Dr. John Sung came, all the Chinese churches flocked to hear him. At that time, all the churches were under the missions. The Methodist Church even had a greater control over the Chinese churches. But when they received life and are born again, naturally they broke away from the missionaries and they became independent. So, he was called pernicious by this, another theological professor and principal. Our tussle with the English Presbyterian missionaries ended in 1955. For 5 years, we were in constant battle with them. And, of course, we lost the Chinese church that supported them was overwhelming against us, because we were called young Turks and upstarts to disrupt the church. So, for standing for the faith, the Lord has mightily blessed the BP movement, so that today there are 40 registered churches, together with 20 affiliated congregations, such as Life Church. We have got the Chinese service, Indonesian service. These are counted as congregations. Because of our faithfulness, by God's grace, He has blessed us. Today in Singapore alone, with 60 congregations. Though we are separated from the English missionaries since 1955, by the year 1988, 30 odd years after, apostasy sets in. A new spirit of rebellion against the truth. When a group of younger BP pastors revolted from the mandate of the synod, the whole church, to abandon the King James Bible for the NIV corrupt text of Westcott and Hort. And they began also to fellowship with non-separated churches, showing that the seeds of degeneration had set in to our church, to our own undoing. Today, Life Church and FBC and the Calvary churches are standing together, but if we are not vigilant, even here, one of our leaders may succumb unknowingly or knowingly to the wiles of the devil. For example, even Peter, who saved the flesh against the spirit, tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross in Jerusalem. So Jesus rebuked him, but he turned and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but these that be of men." Such a situation may even overtake Life Church in the session, especially the elders are not watchful enough. But I have great faith in all my elders to defend against any inroads. One reason why I'm very thankful for God prolonging my life is that I might continue to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, may we all follow closely the shepherd and hear his voice. Let us be a sheep generation and not the wicked generation that Jesus talks of. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. These are the words of exhortation by the Apostle Jude. For it is so often, our human nature is so forgetful to relax and to let things go by. But today there is a great battle raging, the battle of the Bible of the 21st century, not only on its inspiration that is infallible and inerrant, but also the preservation of the text of the Bible, that it is infallible and inerrant. And This is guaranteed in the charter of the Westminster Confession, which says that the text is preserved so that it is pure, kept pure in all ages. And it is stated very categorically in Psalm chapter 12. Let us turn to it. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We thank God that certain vital truths, that even concerns of salvation, are constantly being smothered, covered up by Pharisees and scribes and theologians, principals of theological colleges, those great scholars so-called, who are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a movement to restore the preserved text has been on for the last 30 years. And one of the leaders is Dr. D.A. Waite, who came here to Singapore to preach to our churches and strengthen us in this position. And many very revered names, such as the Trinitarian Bible Society, has championed the preservation of the text. Leaders by David W. Cloud, Dr. Otis Fuller, E.F. Hales, even my brother S.H. Toh, the Pensacola Christian College and Seminary, and now the Firestone Bible College. Practically all lecturers have subscribed to this doctrine of preservation of the scriptures. But one has openly declared, and he said to me, "You are teaching a heresy." I said, "You did not teach us this before." "Yes, we did not know until we discovered it with all those who are banded together throughout the world to raise up this doctrine again, that we may have a Bible we really can trust." So he has left the college. Many years my follower, but those that are of the faith, without any quarrel, without any argument, they will obey right away. One of our lecturers, I asked him, "Do you believe this?" "Sure. It's so natural." And I want to remind you that we have given you all a copy of this, kept pure in all ages according to Westminster Confession and according to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. But I'm afraid the book is too thick, so you don't think you can read. I must write a thinner book than you read. You have not read it. But I thank God for the spontaneous working of the Holy Spirit in Elder Mahadevan's heart. He wrote us a very kind letter. That's it. He believes it. We must earnestly contend for the faith. Life Church, if it is to survive, cannot take it easy, but we must always earnestly contend for the faith. They are the ones delivered unto the saints. Satan is like the monkey god. He can change 72 times. If he fails in this and he is exposed, he will turn the other side and change himself. But whatever he changes himself, the Holy Spirit will give us the grace to know him and to expose him. First of all, our Lord and Savior has exposed. These were the church leaders, the theologians. Who should back him up? Because Jesus was teaching the Word of God. But they reject Jesus. They won't believe him to be the Son of God. And so they would not accept anything that he did. And they countered his teachings. In the same way today, I'm sorry to say, in all these big churches, big seminaries, colleges, there are those who are all the time working against the cause of Christ. These are those whom Jesus calls the wicked generation. And if we are not careful, we will become the wicked generation in the days when we apostatize from the faith. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, help us. We thank Thee that for the last 51 years, You have been leading Your people here. And we pray that You will give grace, especially to our elders and session members who are the rulers of this church, that we will take care that none of us will lapse to the side of the Pharisees and the scribes, that they may always stand firm and faithful to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.